Well, it's great to be with you this morning. Today, we are continuing a series that we've been in for several weeks now called Relatable. We've been talking about relationships. We've been looking at what God's Word has to say about having healthy relationships. And here's the question we've been tackling each week in different forms, in different phases. We've been asking the question, are you able to relate? How relatable are you? Are you the kind of person who can move through life with healthy and significant and meaningful relationships? And so we've covered a lot of ground in this series. We've talked about our relationship with God. We've talked about our relationships with ourselves. We've talked about how we relate to our parents. We've talked about forgiveness. We've talked about a lot of different things. We talked about friendship last week. Today, I want to talk to you about reconciliation. I want to talk to you about the restoration of relationships. So hold that thought for just a moment. Now, in the New Testament, we read in several places where Paul encourages the believers to greet each other with a holy kiss. Have you ever read that before? You ever wondered what that was all about, what a holy kiss is? Now, I stand out there, you know, I'm part of the guest services team. I have the pleasure of getting to greet people. I love shaking hands and hugging people. And some of you, when you come in, you give me a kiss, especially if you're Italian or you're Hispanic. You know, that's just part of your culture. You kiss everybody. I get it. I'm from New Orleans. We hug and kiss people. Some of you, it's more of a handshake or a hug, and that's all good, too. That's fine. You know, I'm thinking back several years ago, actually, when I was in college, I went on a missions trip, a student missions trip to Paris. And for a week, we preached at a church in Paris, and there was translators. And in France, of course, they kiss on each side of the face, right? Well, in this particular church, the lady who took us around and introduced us to everyone said, here, it's our custom to kiss four times. So we got to church, and we spent like the first 20 minutes kissing everybody. I mean, my lips were chapped. My face was like tired after like 20 minutes of kissing everybody. But what is Paul talking about with this whole holy kiss thing? Well, actually, the holy kiss thing was actually a symbol of what's called passing the peace. It was an act of reconciliation. Before the early believers would receive communion, if you had a beef with somebody, you made things right, you made peace, and you sealed it with a kiss. Now, in the Catholic Church, I believe they still practice this, and it's what's called the rite of peace, right? Some of you have come from a more traditional background, maybe a Catholic background, and before you celebrate the Eucharist, you have a chance to pass the sign of peace, right? Now, I grew up Pentecostal, so I don't know much about that. The first time I went to a Catholic Mass, when they said, give someone the sign of peace, I was like throwing peace signs at everybody, like, yo, peace, and I realized that's not what you're supposed to do, the rite of peace. But the rite of peace is a symbol of reconciliation, right? It's a reminder before you receive of the Eucharist, the communion, that what Jesus Christ has done for us has allowed us to have reconciliation with God the Father, but also with fellow Christians. That's what the sign of peace is. And the most common way that you express the sign of peace is to shake someone's hand and say, peace be with you. So turn to someone and give them a sign of peace. Shake someone's hand, say, peace be with you. If you're married and you want to kiss somebody and give them a holy kiss, that's fine. If you're young and single and available and the person next to you is attractive, you might want to try the holy kiss thing. You might get slapped. When I was a teenager in church, I was always praying when I sat next to certain girls that we would bring the holy kiss thing back to church. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, the most common expression is the handshake of peace. And that's actually what I want to talk to you about today. Extending the handshake of peace to people in our lives. Here's the question. Are you able to relate to the person with whom your relationship right now is seemingly irreconcilable? I mean the person who hurt you, the person who walked out of your life, the person who abused your trust, who betrayed you, maybe the person that you got into a business relationship with and the business deal didn't go well. That person who gossiped about you, it might be a family member, it might be a coworker, it might be a business partner, it might be a parent, a relative, but are we, as the people of God who have been reconciled to God the Father through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, are we able to conceive of reconciliation, restoration coming into all of our fractured and broken relationships? I want us to have a sanctified imagination today so that we can begin to at least imagine that, conceive that in our minds today. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about forgiveness, okay? There's a distinction between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness, in the biblical sense of the word, is to release someone from a debt they owe you. Somebody hurt you, right? Whatever, and you're going to release them of that. Forgiveness is really one-sided. You can forgive somebody without them forgiving you. You understand? That's a one-sided thing. You can release them from the debt. Reconciliation is a restoration. It's a restoration. It's healing in a relationship. So reconciliation involves two people. It's a little bit different. But as Christians, okay, as believers, we're called to lead the way with reconciliation. So we can't make the other side reconcile, but we're called to lead the way. And here's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to give you some principles, okay? In just a moment, we're going to look at some principles for reconciliation. But first of all, turn to Romans chapter 12. Find Romans chapter 12 if you have your Bibles with you, or if you're using your smartphone, whatever device you're using. If you want to find the NIV, that's the translation I'm using today. So find Romans chapter 12. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're going to look at verses 17 through 21 in just a moment. First, we're going to look at verse 18, but find verses 17 through 21. As you're finding Romans chapter 12, that's in the New Testament, by the way, second half of the Bible. Keep going past the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. You'll land on Romans. Find chapter 12. Let me set it up for you. Let me give you some context here, okay? In the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is unpacking the gospel. He's telling us of this glorious work that God has done in sending us his son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to live a sinless life, to go to the cross for our sins, to be resurrected, to give us new life. And he's just unpacking the gospel. If you want to read more and understand just the basics of the gospel, read the book, the letter of Romans, the epistle of Romans. And so he does that in the first 11 chapters. Then he gets to chapter 12. And in chapter 12, he shifts. And he begins to tell us how we should live in light of what God has done for us. He begins to tell the believers, the Romans, and we believe through the Holy Spirit, it's a message for us today as the modern day church. He begins to tell us how we should live in light of all that God has done for us. And so look at verse 18. This is a verse we looked at last week. He says this, if it is possible, Romans 12, 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Here's the big idea today. If you're a follower of Christ, it's God's hope that you will be able to live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you, that your disposition, that your mission, that your heart and life will be to live at peace with everyone. How many of you know that's not easy? How many of you would say that seems like really impossible if we're just telling the truth, right? Like everyone, Pastor Jeremy? Like, you don't understand what that person did to me, right? Like, you don't understand what they said about me. You don't know how they treated me. You don't know what my ex-husband or my ex-wife is like. You don't know what my boss is like. That seems really, really impossible. And I have good news for you. The scripture tells us with God, all things are what? All things are possible. With God, with us, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I want to give you some examples of reconciliation that seemed quite impossible. We have some pictures for you this morning. Put that first picture up, guys. This first picture, that's a picture of Nelson Mandela and F.W. de Klerk. If you know anything about Nelson Mandela, you know that he won the Nobel Peace Prize. He spent 27 years in prison because he led protests. He was the leader of the opposition in South Africa that stood against apartheid, right? Which was the government policy of segregation and systematic racial injustice that put white people in power and disenfranchised black people in South Africa. And here he is, after being in prison, standing with F.W. de Klerk, the last white president under the policy of apartheid, shaking hands. This seemed impossible. For years, people even wondered if Nelson Mandela would ever be released from prison. And here he is standing with someone who was a symbol of apartheid, shaking hands, and together the two of them helped build a whole new South Africa, completely changed that nation. It's just amazing, but it seemed impossible. Let me give you another impossible example. We have another picture for you. In this picture, that's, of course, President Bill Clinton in the early 90s. I think this was 1993. On the left there is the Prime Minister of the State of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin. And on the right there is Yasser Arafat, who was the leader of the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And they're shaking hands here after signing the Oslo Accords. Okay, this is in D.C. Significant, historic meeting. Seemed impossible. This was the first time that a prime minister from the State of Israel stood face-to-face with a leader of the Palestinian people. A historic day, because this was the first time that the Palestinians recognized Israel's right to exist. And in return, Israel recognized the PLO as the legitimate government organization representing the Palestinian people. This seemed impossible. You think about our current climate in the Middle East, and right now this seems impossible. It's amazing to have these two shaking hands and signing some initial peace agreements. And then we're going to show you another picture in just a moment. And it's really the most unlikely picture of reconciliation the world has ever seen, the most unlikely handshake of peace. Put that picture up there. Can you see that picture? It's the cross of Jesus Christ, the most unlikely act of reconciliation. To think that the God of all creation would come into flesh and blood and go to the cross and die a criminal's death for our sins. If you really stop and think about it, it's the most unlikely thing. It explodes my mind to even try to conceive it. And here's what I want you to get today. The cross is the place where Almighty God made peace with humanity. The cross is the place where God himself brokered a deal with humanity, with you and me. And here were the terms of the deal. The terms of the deal were my son for you because I want peace with you. That was the deal. That was the peace offering. My son for you because I want peace with you. I want peace with humanity. And some of you might say, well, why would God have to make peace with humanity? Why would God have to make peace with me? I mean, I've never thought of myself as being at odds with God. I never thought that God might be upset with me. I never, you know, I'm a good person. After all, I've never killed anybody, and I'm really nice. I walk little old ladies across the street, and I rescue cats out of trees. I try to help people when I can. Why would God need to make a peace treaty with me? Well, you know, the scripture says that every one of us, we've all fallen short, right? Every one of us, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, you can read it for yourself. For we have all fallen short. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? And the scripture goes on to say that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible, the Gospels, the New Testament paints this picture of humanity being broken. We're made in God's image. We're full of, with the potential for glory. We sang about that earlier. There's no doubt, okay, there's a lot of good in us, but there's a lot in us that's broken. There's a lot in us that's sinful. There's a lot of us that's messed up. And so there's this painting that begins to emerge as we read the Gospels in the New Testament. We see where humanity is at odds with God. And God has extended a handshake of peace to humanity, to you and to me personally, through his son Jesus Christ. And he has brokered a deal and made a way for us to be at peace with God. And this is really the greatest handshake of peace the world has ever seen. This is what gives shape to our mission to live in peace with everyone. Because we look at the cross, we look at what God has done for us in sending his son Jesus to us, and it's changed our lives. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, this has changed your life. And this is what gives shape to our calling and our mission to be those who extend the hand of peace to everyone around us as so much as it depends on us. So I want to give you some principles today, three principles that we need to live by in order to be peacemakers. Everybody say peacemakers. We gave you some note sheets when you walked in today. You might want to find those note sheets so you can jot down these three principles. I know some of you prefer to take notes on your phone, but those note sheets are there for you. So find those notes and jot this down. Here's principle number one. We're talking about principles that we're going to live by in order to become peacemakers. Number one, the cross is the template by which reconciliation happens in our relationships. The cross is the template. Everybody say template. It's our guide. The cross is the template by which reconciliation happens in our relationships. See, this is why we've been talking about getting the gospel into our relationships for the last few weeks. Every week we keep coming back to the gospel. Some of you are like, Pastor Jeremy, all you do is keep talking about the gospel over and over again. Because what we're doing is we're looking at all of these different relationships that we have, friendships and family and people that we need to forgive and parents. What we're doing is we're taking the gospel, we're taking what God has done for us, and we're getting that into our relationships. Because it brings healing. It brings healing and it becomes a guide to us. And so we're talking about the relational outworking of something that's happened inward, inside of us. We're talking about the relational outworking of an inward truth, a change that's taken place inside of us. So let's look at Romans 12 again. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Well, you say, I don't really want to do that. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Some of you would say, I really don't want to do that. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. How many of you would like to do that to your enemy? Now that sounds good. Burning coals, I don't know what that means, but that sounds really nice. Well, this is an ancient proverb that doesn't quite translate into modern times. What that actually means is when you do good to your enemy, you can actually bring them to a place of repentance so that God actually works through that. So we leave them in God's hands, but it's actually got a positive connotation to it. And then verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so as we look at this scripture, right, this very challenging scripture, anybody find that scripture just a little bit challenging? Am I the only person? I know you guys are a lot more spiritual than me. Just loving your enemies just comes so natural to you. I know. It's easy for you. But as I look at this, I'm challenged because this tells me, like, I'm not supposed to take revenge, right? And I'm supposed to love my enemy and feed my enemy who's hungry and give him something to drink if he's thirsty. And I'm not supposed to repay, you know, somebody evil with evil. Like, that's really challenging for me. And so I think the question is, like, how is this possible, right? Some of you are thinking right now, how is this possible? Like, you don't understand what this person, you know, did to me. I mean, we're talking about reconciliation here, right? For some of you, maybe your dad walked out on you when you were a kid, walked away from your family. For some of you, that's your experience, right? And maybe years later, all of a sudden, like, your dad showed back up in your life, like, started messaging you on Facebook, got your phone number from somebody, started texting you, reaching out to you. And you're like, wait, what am I supposed to do here? You mean, like, this guy who walked out on me, who wasn't there for me, wasn't part of my family, wasn't there for all of my most significant memories and moments of my life, and now all of a sudden he wants to walk back into my life, and I'm just supposed to accept him and reconcile with him and act like nothing happened? Like, how is that? How's that possible? How is that possible? And I'll say this, you know, as human beings in our natural capacity, it's pretty impossible, but it's only possible because of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's only possible for us as believers because of the template of the cross. Reconciliation is possible because of the pattern that God has laid out for us because of what he did at the cross. When you think about a template is a pattern that guides you, right? It's a pattern that guides you. My dad is a pastor, but he's always been a great carpenter, a great woodworker. And my dad used to build what's called a jig. If any of you guys are into woodworking or have a carpentry background, you know what a jig is. For some of you, you think a jig is just something you do on the dance floor. But we have a picture of a jig for you. A jig is something that you build to guide you so that all of your cuts are the same. So let's say you're making the same measurement, the same cut repeatedly, right? You build a jig because it makes all of your cuts perfect. It's something that helps guide and shape the size and the cut of whatever wood you're cutting so that you get a perfect cut each time. That's a jig. And see, here's what the Apostle Paul's saying. Like, we follow the guide, the jig, the template of the cross is what gives shape to our lives. Let me remind you here in Romans chapter 12, okay, this whole section that we're reading, Romans chapter 12, it's a shift. He's been unpacking the gospel. The Apostle Paul's been telling us all about what the gospel means for us. And then he gets to Romans 12 and he says, in light of all that God has done for you, everything that I've just described, this is what he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of everything that I've just described, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So Paul's saying, in light of everything that I've just described to you, this is how you should live. In light of the cross of Jesus Christ, in view of God's mercy, this is how you should live. And so reconciliation is only possible because of the work of Jesus, because of the peace that he has attained for us. I mean, God made peace with humanity possible when it seemed impossible. God made peace with you and with me when we were far from him. Do you know what Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says? It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says that God loved us while we were yet sinners. This is love, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine? He gave his life for us before we loved him. The scripture says he loved us before we first loved him. Before your heart was even awakened to the possibility of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, God loved you when you were distant from him, when you were far from him. That's how he loved you. He extended the handshake of peace to you and me when it seemed quite impossible. And that's what enables us to be able to do this for other people in our lives. And so we walk into this process We walk into this process of reconciliation with people, knowing what God has done for us. And when you really have a sense of God's grace, when you really have a sense of just what God has done for you, the mercy he's poured out on you, how many times he's forgiven your sins, here's the sense that you have when you come into the process. Here's what you know confidently. If God can do this for me, he can do this for anybody. If God can reconcile himself to me, he can forgive anybody. He can make peace with anybody. And if God can make peace with anybody, I can make peace with anybody with his help. Are you with me this morning? You have any challenging people in your lives? Any broken relationships? Any hurts? And so we follow the pattern that God has shown us. Here's the second principle, okay? We're talking about reconciliation, talking about restoration coming into our relationships. Here's the second principle. As Christians, we are the people who seek the possibility of peace. Everybody say we. Everybody point yourself and say me, okay? As Christians, we are the people who seek the possibility of peace. Look at verse 18. We've looked at it before. If it is possible, read this out loud with me, as far as it depends on you, on me, live at peace with everyone. See, it's not natural for people to embrace reconciliation, is it? Is it natural for you? Like when somebody hurts you, when somebody does something harmful to you, somebody lies about you, gossips about you, does something to break the relationship, is it natural for you to just long to like want to run to that person and reconcile things and make things right? Is that like really easy for you? And see, here's the deal. This is why God is calling us to lead the way, because God knows this isn't easy for us, okay? I know some of y'all are more spiritual than me, but let's have fun for just a moment, okay? Picture with me you're going to the mall during the busy shopping season, right? You ever been there before? Like the mall parking lot's really full, right? And you see somebody backing out. It's the perfect parking spot. So what do? You put your blinker on, you pull up, you're waiting for that person to back out, right? You're getting ready to get your spot, and then somebody comes whipping around the corner and pulls in, cuts you off, and gets in that spot right before you. Have you ever had that happen to you before? How did you respond? Have you ever had that happen? Now listen, imagine the Lord appears to you at that moment, okay? The Lord comes to you and he says, now listen, I saw what happened there and I'm going to give you two options, okay? Option number one, I'm going to give you a much better parking spot. I'm going to open up a spot for you all the way up front and give you the best parking spot here. That's option number one. Or option number two, because of what they did to you, I'm going to give them a flat tire. Which one are you going to pick? I don't know about you, I'm picking the flat tire every time. I'm saying, Lord, I can walk. I'll park all the way in the back. I'm happy to get some exercise, Lord, but I want to walk past that flat tire. I know you're more spiritual than me. I'm taking the flat tire every time. Because that is just human nature, right? Some of y'all pray for people to get a flat tire when they cut you off in traffic. You know you do it. And most of the time, like, we don't want to go out of our way to fix things with people, right? We kind of have it's on them. It's on them is our mentality, right? Like, I told them 10 years ago, I'm available to talk if you want to call me. It's been 10 years. I'm still waiting on them to call me. It's on them. We don't really want to go out of our way to reconcile things with people. It's not natural for us as human beings, flawed human beings, to long for reconciliation. But I got good news for you. In Christ, you are no longer natural. You have become something supernatural. And then you are walking in the supernatural because you are now alive by faith. You are dead to the person you used to be. And if you're in Christ, you are now alive to Christ, and you've been given a new nature so that your disposition is toward peacemaking. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. One of my favorite scriptures. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Some translations say he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So if you're in Christ, you're no longer natural, you're something supernatural. You're a new creation, you're a new person. God's making you something into new. Jesus didn't just come to save you from something, your sins. He came to make you into something. He came to make you his son, his daughter, right? We're works of progress. We're in transformation, we're in process, and you're a new creation. On top of that, it says this. It says that God has reconciled himself to us, right? Jesus came and he reconciled us to the Father, and he also gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Guess what that means, church? That means you are signed up for the ministry of reconciliation. You may not have read the fine print when you checked it off, right? Like, you know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the deal sounded really good. Like, I get to exchange my sins for his sacrifice. I get to be made right with God, receive all the blessings of becoming a child or son, you know, of God, son or daughter of God. You should have read the fine print, because you also signed up to be a minister of reconciliation. Because Jesus says, like, the same thing that I did for you in restoring your relationship with God the Father, now I'm calling you to extend that to other people. So if you're a Christian, congratulations, you are signed up for the ministry of reconciliation. You get to do this. This is your new nature. You get to embrace this. And because of our new nature, the Holy Spirit begins to rewire your brain. He begins to rewire your spirit, your disposition toward people, so that now we're always looking for the possibility to seek peace. That's our predisposition. How many of you know some people who are always looking for a fight, always looking for drama, always looking to get into it with somebody, right? I got certain friends on Facebook, like, they just air out all their drama on Facebook. Like, they're mad at somebody and they're just putting, like, little indirect references to that person on Facebook. And I just, the spirit of slap comes over me. Sometimes I have this anointing. I just want to slap people. I was, what's wrong with you? People who are airing out their foolishness on Facebook need to find something to do in life. Like, they need something to do. They need something to actually be upset about. They need to get involved in something. They need to just volunteer at a homeless shelter or go to a third world country and, like, you know, start fighting human trafficking or something, because they're angry about nothing. There are some things in life that are worth being angry about, right? And half of that stuff is just a bunch of foolishness. And so that's no longer who we're predisposed to be. If your natural inclination before was you were a fighter, you know, you were feisty, you were always looking, or you were scrappy, looking to get into it with people, the Holy Spirit begins to take the nature of Jesus Christ and put it inside of you so that you're a new creation. And now your heart is predisposed toward peace. Are you with me this morning? Because you're following the template, the jig, the pattern of the cross of Jesus Christ, and you're walking in the reality of what Jesus did for you. You're a new creation. And so God wants us to reflect this. He wants us to reflect this. You see, Jesus knew that it was going to be really hard for humanity to be reconciled to the Father. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that humanity would naturally want to reach out in reconciliation to the Father, that we would be dead in our sins. So what did he do? He came and he sacrificed himself. He said, so long as it depends on me, I'm going to have peace with humanity. Jesus knew that some people were going to walk away from this deal. The best deal, the best peace deal that's ever been extended to humanity. Jesus knew some people weren't going to take him up on the deal. Some people were going to refuse it. And so what did Jesus do? He didn't wait on the world. Jesus said, so long as it depends on me, I'm going to have peace with you. And he calls us to do the same thing, to reflect this verse so that it lands on us and not them. Because you're the one with the supernatural power of Jesus Christ inside of you operating in your life. Other people outside of Christ don't have that, but you have the power of Jesus Christ working in you. And so we come to it with this disposition and this truth that we know how far Jesus went out of his way to restore peace with us, right? We know how far God the Father went out of his way. The God of all creation coming to us in flesh and blood in the form of a human being, emptying himself, making himself nothing, as the scripture says. We know how inconvenient it was for Jesus. How many of you know it was just a little bit inconvenient for Jesus to leave the riches and the glory of heaven to come down to this earth and die a criminal's death? It was a little bit inconvenient for him. He had to go out of his way just a little bit. And so we have to be willing to go out of our way. And what happens is our disposition is that this verse lands on us first, and it's on us. It's on me. As far as it depends on me, I'm going to be a peacemaker toward everyone. So as Christians, we are the people who seek the possibility of peace. And then here's the third principle. The third principle is this. The Holy Spirit is the agent of peace in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the agent of peace in our lives. See, it's the power, the Holy Spirit's power is what enables us to do this. The power that makes it possible for you and me to experience reconciliation, for reconciliation to come into shattered relationships where wrongs have been done and people have been hurt. The power that we have comes from the Holy Spirit of God himself. This is when we get to our limits, where we reach our limit, and we recognize, like, we're just really powerless on our own to do this, right? How many of you know we would just be really in trouble to try to do this stuff on our own, to be peacemakers, to reconcile broken relationships? Am I the only person? How many know it would just be a little bit challenging, that you really don't have that much capacity in and of yourself to do this on your own? You ever tried to do this before on your own strength? How'd that work out for you, right? Listen, man, I mean, I'm just reminded sometimes of how, you know, how much my disposition, my natural disposition isn't toward peace. The other night, Amy and I went out for a date night, and my mother-in-law, my wonderful mother-in-law, showed up in town for a surprise visit. And when my mother-in-law shows up in town, it's like Disney World. Because we know for once we have help for the weekend for these three boys. We are not going to be outnumbered. Three of us on three of them. And grandma's like, you know, having like a whole army of people. She's amazing. So some of y'all don't get along with your in-laws. I'll take my mother-in-law any day. I told her, you can move in my house any day. I'll take you. I won't ever do laundry again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can sleep in my bed. I'll sleep on the couch. Because I'll take my mother-in-law any day. Never change a diaper again in my life. So grandma shows up, and it's like, oh, it's on. We're having date night tonight, baby. Let's go get a steak. So I take my wife out for dinner. It's a cold, windy night. We get to the restaurant. This is a couple walking in behind us, and I'm trying to be nice, so I held the door open for them. And to be honest with you, they were like a few seconds behind us. I could have shut the door behind myself and not been rude, but I was trying to be nice, so I held the door open for a few seconds, wind blowing in my face. Couple gets there. The guy just takes the door from me, doesn't say thank you. Now, his girlfriend or whoever she was said thank you, but the guy didn't say nothing. I was like, oh, whatever. I'm like, what am I, the doorman or something? But I'm like, oh, no big deal. So, you know, a little bit rude. So we get up, we get in line, and there's a long line. There's a wait. There's like a 20 or 30 minute wait, right? There's people all around us. We're in line. And we get up to the hostess to put our name on the list. And this dude inches up at the last minute and tries to cut us in line. I mean, just comes right around us, like right up on side of us. You can clearly see what he's trying to do. And even the hostess kind of saw it. And I know y'all are, you know, more Christian than me, but something rose up inside of me. And I was like, dude, what do you think you're doing? I'm like, I know you didn't. I was about to just have a talk with this dude like right now. Like, what's up, man? I held the door open for you and you didn't say thank you. And then you cutting people in line. Like, what do you think? You're the crown prince of Arabia or something, dude? I'm getting ready to say something. I had to literally bite my tongue, you know? And I realized how quickly, man, like, the Holy Spirit convicted me, like how quickly we can get angry with people, right? And I don't even know this dude. It's a lot harder to love people in your life that's in your face every day that you need to reconcile with. I can't even control my temper with some guy I'm like never going to see again. I had to ask God to forgive me. I'm like, I'm sorry, Lord, you know? I had a conviction moment. I had to get right with Jesus right there in the restaurant. You know, I mean, there have been times. Now, if you're married, I'm sure you can relate to this. Those of you married people, we're gonna have some therapy together right now for just a moment. You know, there are times when my wife and I have aggressive negotiations. What some of you guys might call an argument. You know, and you know, there's a little silence between us, right? There's like wall of silence that resides between us. Like she's doing her thing, I'm doing my thing. We're walking past each other. Nobody's talking, right? At some point in time, somebody's got to initiate the peace treaty, right? And so there's a lot of times like I'm gonna be the good husband, I'm gonna be the man of God, and I'm gonna lead the way, and I'm gonna make peace with my wife, right? So I bring the situation back, honey, you know, I'm really sorry for what happened before, and you know, I apologize. And if I was smart, if I had any sense in my head, I would just shut up and stop right there, right? But you know you do this, married people. What do? I was like, I'm really sorry for what happened before, I shouldn't have said that. But what I was trying to do was, you know. I'm really sorry I said what I said, but I just want you to know where I was coming from. I just want you to understand, like, I didn't mean it that way. And I should have just stopped right there. I should have just said, I'm sorry, just forgive me, walking, did my own, you know, went back and did the dishes, whatever I was doing. But I said, but, and I added something. What do you know? We're right back in the middle of a fight all over again. And the whole thing blows up and it's just bad, right? And the wall comes back up, right? Like, it's hard for us to make peace with people, isn't it? Like, under our own natural ability, like, it's really hard. And what I'm trying to say to you is the only possibility for restoration to come into our broken relationships where people have really hurt you, where people have abandoned you, where people have left some deep scars in your life. It's only possible as a believer through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, amen? And so our prayer is, Holy Spirit, help us. Holy Spirit, help us. You know, we read about the conception of Jesus, right? Around the Christmas, especially around Christmas time. And we read about how the angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary and announced this good news to her that you're going to give birth to a child, right? And Mary believed this promise and she conceived. The Holy Spirit conceived in her the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who would become the Prince of Peace, what we call the Immaculate Conception. Right? And so as I look at this peace deal that God brokered with humanity, as I look at this peace deal, I realize that God the Father initiates this peace deal with us, this peace deal with humanity. And Jesus himself, the Son of God, is the peace offering. But the Holy Spirit is the one who birthed the whole peace plan. He birthed the Prince of Peace. And so the same Spirit of God who birthed the Prince of Peace is going to birth the process of peace in us and in our relationship so that you can experience reconciliation and restoration in your relationships. And so our prayer is, Holy Spirit, help us. Amen. Holy Spirit, help us. I want the worship team to come back as we close the message, and we're going to sing and worship to another song in just a moment, and I'm going to have a moment to pray with you. But as they come back, I just want to remind you today that God the Father has done something amazing. God the Father has initiated a peace process with humanity, with you and me. God the Father has extended the handshake of peace to you and me. And it's the cross of Jesus Christ that allows us and empowers us to make peace with other people. It's God who so freely poured out his love and his grace and his mercy into our lives. When the scripture says, when we were far from God, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's because he did that for us. It's because the cross of Jesus changes us. It changes the pattern by which we live. It does something in us. It gives us a new nature. And we begin to live out of that love. And so I want you today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to begin to conceive what it would look like for healing and restoration and reconciliation to come into your broken relationships. Some of you, when I say that right now, you see somebody's face, a family member, a friend, a coworker, somebody who hurt you. What would it look like? Can you begin to conceive today through the cross, through the lens of the cross, what it might look like to experience restoration and healing with that person? Now, let me say this to you. There are some people that we can't experience reconciliation with. Reconciliation involves two people, right? There are some people, when we extend the hand to them, they're not going to reach their hand back out to us. There are some people who are toxic. There are some people who are so toxic that we have to love them from a distance because they're hurtful, they're abusive, right? And to have a relationship with them would not be the best thing for us. God isn't calling us to be doormats, but he is calling us to be the ones who extend our hands to make peace with those, so long as it depends on you and me, right? You have to know, as long as it depends on you, we're going to do what we can. We know there's some people who aren't going to extend the hand back, but because of the help of the Holy Spirit, you can make a peace treaty with you. You can make a peace treaty with you, and you can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be free and experience healing in your heart. You can retire from retaliation. You can have a ceasefire. And some of you are walking through something right now. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you can have a ceasefire and extend your hand. And even if the other person doesn't extend their hand back, you can live in peace knowing that so long as it depends on me, I'm going to live in peace with every person. Come on, that's our prayer today, church. Why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? I want to pray for you. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to help us today. I want you to pray with me. This is a moment of reflection. This is a moment for us to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and just have a moment between you and God. So would you just bow your head with me this morning? And so, Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you have initiated the greatest act of peace that the world has ever seen. When you extended your hand to all of us and you gave us the very gift of your Son, and the terms were your Son for us because you wanted peace with us. And Father, today I pray for anybody in this place today who's never extended their hand back to you before. God, maybe they grew up in church, maybe they were baptized, maybe they were catechized, went to Sunday school, whatever. But I pray today for the person who for themselves needs to extend their hand back to you and say, God, I want to have reconciliation with God the Father. If that's you this morning, would you just pray in such a simple prayer? Jesus, I invite you into my life. I thank you that you made it possible for me to have peace with God. Come on, you can just pray this prayer with me or just echo it in your heart. God, I receive today your offer of peace and I extend my hand to you. I confess my sins. I receive your Son Jesus in my life because God, I want peace with you. God, I want peace with you and I receive you into my life. Some of you need to pray that prayer today or pray it for the first time in a long time. And if you prayed that prayer, I believe that God heard your prayer. And now all of us, we're gonna pray, Holy Spirit, help us. Because when we look at our lives, when we look at our own capacity, we realize how limited we are to do this on our own. So would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we're asking you to help us to live out of our new nature, God, out of the nature of the cross. Lord, today we're just opening our hearts and we're saying, God, just pour out your grace on us today. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us today so that we can walk in this, we can live in this, so that, God, we become peacemakers. That, God, we become those who embody what you've done for us. We begin to reflect it to other people. And, God, we know that the challenge lands on us, God. Some of us have some difficult people in our lives. Some of us have some people who really hurt us, God. And when we think about forgiving him, it's the hardest thing to do. But, God, today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we know that you are going to make a way for us, because as far as it depends on us, we're going to extend our hands in peace to every person around us. Now, Holy Spirit, do it in each and every person. And Father, we know forgiveness comes before reconciliation. So today, once again, we're asking for your grace to release those who have hurt us. By your power, we release that person. Some of you need to name somebody's name. You need to say it out loud, maybe under your breath. God, we release that person to you. We release the debt. Now, God, pave the way for restoration. In Jesus' name, do it in our lives. In Jesus' name.